Chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're continuing in our Ask the Pastor series, and the questions that we're going to address tonight are going to change topic a little bit, and the questions that I received that kind of tie together is, how can I be an example to believers? Another person asked, I would like to hear a message on leadership. So we're going to address both of those kind of together and combined. They overlap quite a bit. And really, as you look at Scripture, you're going to see this about leadership. That leadership equals influence. Leadership isn't necessarily a position. Leadership isn't necessarily authority that's been bestowed upon you. Leadership is something that is you naturally influence people around you. Especially you lead by example. And that's why we have combined these two questions together. Before we begin tonight, I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to quiet our hearts, our minds, and that we engage with God's Word. Father, we come to you and ask that you would quiet our hearts. There are many things going on tonight. I know it's a little bit warm, a little bit distracted by the heat, and Lord, I just pray that you cool it down. But also, I ask that you would guide my words, that I would glorify you in what I say tonight, that your Word would be powerful, that your Holy Spirit would be active, and that you'd help us to come away with answers and also a motivation and a renewed hope and also a vision for what we are called to do through your word. And Lord, I pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, imagine with me that I am a member of a gym, okay? Now, you look at me and you're like, you know what? I don't have that much imagination to picture you working out in a gym. I haven't worked out in a long time. Let's just say I'm a member of a gym, and when I first went in, I was excited. Like, I was ready to go, right? I thought that I was going to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm going to get ripped. I'm going to get jacked. I look at all the pictures on the wall. And I'm like, you know what? I want to be like that guy. That guy up there that's been going to the gym here for years. He's been working out. He's been lifting weights. I'm going to look like him. And all the stereotypes of all the people that went out to the gym didn't bother me. You know, like the guy who constantly stares at himself in the mirror. How many of you guys have ever been to a gym and see these guys? Like, they constantly stare themselves in the mirror. Or how about the guy who's like super sweaty and he sweats all over all the machines? Like, that is disgusting. That is gross. It didn't bother me at first. And then how about the guy who screams with every single rep he lifts with the weights? We're like, ah! You're like, dude, chill out. You got like 20 pounds. Right? There's all kinds of stereotypes, people that bother you when you go to a gym. But I was ready to get ripped, man. I mean, like, I was ready to work out, get strong, and I looked at all the pictures, and I thought, hey, you know what, muscles, here I come. But after a while, I start going to this gym, and I start comparing myself to the pictures up top, and I'm like, you know what, I'm not making as much improvement as I hoped. I'm not getting the results that I wanted as quickly as I wanted. And all of a sudden, all those stereotypes that didn't bother me start to bother me a lot, like the guy who hoards all of the weights to himself and won't share them. You're like, hey, can I borrow that? No, dude, I'm doing like 20 more reps. And I'm like, just give me the weight, right? Really annoying guys at the gym. But as I go through this, about a year later, I start to come back and they send me a letter that I've got to renew my membership, and I go up to the front desk and I'm like, hey, you know what? I want a refund for all my money. For my last year of membership, I want a refund. I mean, look at me. There's been no change. And they're like, yeah, I can tell. And we would all think, you know what? That's ridiculous, because they're going to ask me the question, they're going to be like, hey, when was the last time you worked out here? And my response, if I go along this line of logic, like, hey, that's not the issue, I don't look like that guy. And I paid to look like that guy in the picture up on the wall. And all of a sudden, I get discouraged, I get discontent. And many times, we want the results, but we don't want the effort that goes in to having that position of leadership or to get those results. Whatever it is, sometimes there's prizes that we look forward to getting, but we don't want to put in the effort to get the rewards, the awards. And guys, many times we want the position of leadership, or we want the privilege of leadership, but we don't want to go through the effort that goes into attaining it. We don't want to go through the effort that comes into actually being a positive influence for the Lord and for just leadership in general. And Paul here in 1 Timothy, he is writing a letter to a young pastor named Timothy. And he warns this young spiritual leader that there will be false teaching out there. There are false teachers. And he warns this young spiritual leader that they have hearts that are seared with a hot iron. Their conscience is seared over. Their hearts are calloused. They've departed from the faith, and now they're starting to recruit other people to start veering away from the Lord and leaving the faith as well. Can you guys relate to that? Maybe you feel peer pressure in your friend group that you know what you're supposed to do, but all of a sudden they start trying to pull you away from the Lord. Maybe you just feel pressure from the society in general where you feel like you've got to, in order to fit in with the culture around you, you've got to drift and stray away from the Lord. And you start listening to all the false doctrine and teaching around you. And Timothy, Paul warns him, he says, refuse this false teaching. And then in verse number 7, he says, refuse profane and old wives' fables, this false teaching that we're talking about. And then he says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And God gives you and I the same challenge and the same encouragement that he gives to Timothy here. Train yourself to be godly. How do I be an example? I've got to train myself to be a godly leader. And how can I be an example to the believer? I want to be a leader. Can't talk tonight. I have got to train myself to be godly. Do you want to influence people for the Lord? Do you want to be a godly leader? Because it starts in your heart. It's not position. It's not power. It starts in your heart. And God, the word that's used in verse number 10 later on in this passage, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. That word that's translated there, it means to agonize. Why would I agonize over training myself to be godly? And then in the end of verse number 10, here's the answer. Because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Why should I even care? Why should I train myself to be godly? Because what God has done for you. And guys, that word translated trust in English carries the idea of hope in the original Greek language. So why should you and I train ourselves to be godly? Because we have our hope fixed on the living God and the Savior of all people. He is our hope. He is our confidence. He is our future. And guys, a lot of athletes, they will train and they will work a lifetime in order to hopefully someday stand up in front of a crowd, hoisting up a trophy over their head, and be able to say that, hey, I'm a world champion. I'm the best. They'll get up at 5 a.m. They'll watch what they eat. They'll be on a special diet. They'll lift weights. They persevere through injury after injury. They agonize and they train. Why? Because they believe it's worth it. They believe that championship that they might get in the future is worth it. And guys, train yourself to be godly because God is worth it. Because he is your hope. Because he is your Savior. You can have a confident expectation and a hope that you will meet your God and your Savior face to face. And if you train yourself to live godly, you will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And unfortunately, many times, even in my own life, I feel like I don't train myself to be godly because honestly, thinking about that future isn't worth it to me. What is your motivation to become a godly young person? It should be your God. He is your hope and he is your future and he is your Savior. I think of the words in the song, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus." Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Is that you? It will be worth it all. Do you really believe that? Because your training and your agonizing is not just for you. The original question is, how do I be a godly leader? How do I be an example to people? Paul continues, it's profitable for others as well. Your godly example can influence others towards your God of hope. People need hope. They are floundering in a hopeless world where they're running to sin to find satisfaction and meaning, only to find slavery and bondage. And you and I have this opportunity to train to be godly, to be an example to them, and show them how great our God is and what a God of hope it is. And you can point them to the Savior of all people. Look at verses 11 and 12. These things command and teach, Timothy. Anyone who desires to be a leader, let no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in truth. Guys, in these verses and the next, God gives us four practical answers to our questions Hey, you know what? How can I be an example of the believers? How can I be a godly leader? Answer number one that he gives is pretty simple. He says, you know what? Model godliness. Be an example. If you want to impact people, first of all, you've got to train yourself to be godly, but then you need to be an example to other people. And even though people tend to look down on young people, God says, be a pattern of godly living. All of you would fall into that category. Don't look down on your own youth. God doesn't want us to use our youth as an excuse. So what kind of example am I supposed to be according to God in 1 Timothy 4? First thing I'm supposed to be an example is, category number one is my speech. My words. How I speak to other people. Question for you, do your words reflect Jesus Christ? Do the words that come out of your mouth reflect the grace that God has given to you in salvation? Or on the opposite hand, are you cutting people down? Don't go back to the old ways of crude talking, lying, bragging, all the things in Ephesians 4 that are talked about as being part of the old man. And I'm going to say something that's encouraging, but also could be a challenge to you. Some of you in this room are very natural leaders. God has given you that gift. There's a spiritual gift of leadership. Some of you have it, and people naturally follow you. People mimic you. People want to impress you. Whenever you say, hey, you know what, let's do this, everyone's like, yeah, good idea, let's do it. There are some people that say, hey, let's do this, everybody's like, yeah, whatever. And guys, there are some of you who have natural leadership abilities. Are you using your natural leadership abilities for yourself or for God? Are you influencing people? Are you using your example that people want to impress you for yourself or for God? Are you the ringleader that starts to mock people? Are you the ringleader that causes people with all of their words to make fun of people, to mock people, to complain? Do you realize how much of an impact you can have if you flip the script? You have natural leadership ability, but right now you are using it not for good, but instead you're using it to please yourself and for yourself. Can you imagine what would happen if you started using your words to be an example and to reflect Jesus Christ? To make an impact by changing the way you talk to and about people. Instead of talking about yourself. Instead of talking about and laughing about crude things. Talk about positive things. Ephesians 5, it says that you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the world. You are light in the Lord. And then he says this later on in the passage, it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And some of you laugh about those things and joke about those things that are done in darkness and that people are ashamed of and try to keep a secret. And it's crude talking about things that should never be talked about. That is not being an example of the believers in speech, in your words. And instead of bragging about yourself and your abilities, lift someone else up. Don't lord it over someone that, hey, you know what, I'm really talented here and you're not. And you make sure that they know about it. But guys, I had to learn this the very hard way as a teenager. But the way that I talk to others and about others is infinitely more valuable than how I could throw a baseball. Than how I can kick a soccer ball. And what type of grades I got. It was infinitely more valuable for me to talk to other people with grace and about other people with grace than it was for me to win at anything. And guys, in high school, I've told you this before, winning was my God. And I regret those years of my life. Don't follow that example. Because this is coming from a guy who still loves sports, but don't love sports or winning more than you love the God that saved him. Don't make sports or anything else your God, because Jesus said this, you're going to stand before God and give account for every idle word that you've ever spoken. Every empty, every worthless, every careless, everything you said without thought, you're going to have to stand before God and give account for it. You are not going to stand before God and give account for how many points you scored, or your fashion sense, or how funny you think your jokes are. And oftentimes, we, in the name of being funny, we tear other people down and we do commit all kinds of wickedness. Guys, that is not the most important thing. Galatians 6:14, talking about boasting, says, but God forbid that I should glory, that I should boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I should brag about nothing except the cross. by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. All this stuff that we have made our gods here on this earth, it should be dead to us. Do you love your God that much? And knowing themselves, all of these things aren't sin, but if you created them and made them into gods in your life, don't boast in your accomplishments, but rather in what Christ has accomplished for you on the cross. Are your words, as you examine your life tonight, a pattern for godliness? Or instead, are they a model of the world? Guys, don't be a poor example. Because if you are, be encouraged. I'm going to tell you why. There's hope. God can use you to be a key part of the change in your friend group, in your school, in youth group, in church, in your neighborhood. If you've been one of those ringleaders and people naturally follow you, you again can flip the script there and you can use it for good. Use the influence that you may currently be using right now for yourself or for evil to influence others toward godliness. Make a commitment now. You know what? I want to be an example of the believers in my word. And maybe right now, you need to take a step back. I need to train myself to be godly. Because what's in your heart is coming out of your mouth. What's coming out of your mouth is really a barometer of where your relationship with God is. And before Paul even tells Timothy, be an example, he says, you know what? Train yourself in godliness. Love God. Make sure your relationship with God is right. How do you be an example to believers? You make sure your relationship with God is right first. You make sure that you love the Lord your God with all your heart. And guys, when you train yourself for the purpose of godliness, when you are chasing after God, God will change your heart. And when your heart is changed to become more like the heart of your heavenly Father, guys, your words will change. What's coming out of your mouth? But guys, take hope because you can be an example of the believers. In word, but also in conduct. The word that's used in our Bible is conversation, your way of life, your manner of lifestyle. Make sure you live consistently. In our home, we've been making an effort to eat healthier. Now, I love mashed potatoes. I'll eat tons of them. My wife, Jessica, makes absolutely amazing mashed potatoes. Now, a few months ago, we sat down for dinner, and I got excited because I realized, you know what? Jessica just made a ton of mashed potatoes. So I'm smiling, I'm getting pumped, I'm ready for this. And we pray, we eat, and all of a sudden I take like spoonfuls of mashed potatoes, throw it on my plate. I'm like shoveling it on there. And then I take my spoon and I stick it in there and I put a heaping spoonful of mashed potatoes in my mouth. And immediately, I'm like, this is not mashed potatoes. And the disgust was obvious on my face because my wife Jessica just started laughing. She made mashed cauliflower and tried to trick me into thinking it was mashed potatoes. It was disgusting. It is disgusting. So, why do I use that illustration? Because guys, whenever my wife makes mashed potatoes now, I still am a little suspicious that they're mashed cauliflower. I still have to like smell them and check them out. And those mashed cauliflower, it kind of put me off because they tried to disguise themselves as mashed potatoes. My wife thought it was funny. But guys, you know what? People are also repulsed and put off by wicked people who allow things to come out of their mouths and live a certain way, but then their words say something else. They say they live a wicked lifestyle, but they say, you know what? I'm a godly person. I go to church. I'm good. In Titus 1 verse 16, Paul describes these people. These hypocrites, they profess that they know God, but in works, they deny Him. Is that you? Are you trying to disguise yourself as a religious person, a good person, a godly person? You say you know God, but really, everyone who's watching your life would have to be like, no, they really don't typically reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. You can influence people by consistency. Don't say one thing and then do another thing. Guys, this is possible if you train yourself to be godly. Get your heart right with God so you can be an example to believers. Because again, when you train yourself to be godly, your heart will change. And that will change the way you live. So be an example of the believer in conversation, the way you talk, in your conduct. And thirdly, in love. Do your actions reflect the love that God has poured out and shown you? Are you an example of the believers in these areas of love that we talked about last week? 1 Corinthians 13 describes love for us. I don't have time to go through all of them, but are you patient? Are you an example of patience? Oftentimes I have to say, no, I'm not. Are you an example of not being jealous? Are you an example of not being easily provoked? Are you an example of the believers in this area of your life? Do you show this love towards other people? Because man, talk about the influence that you could have for the Lord Jesus Christ if you decide that this is how you're going to live your life. If you choose to show love to other people, especially people that you don't like, or maybe you don't even have that much in common with. Guys, you make God look attractive to people who don't know him when you live like this. But also, your example can encourage believers to pursue God harder, more diligently. They could look at your life and say, you know what? I want to be like that. Here's something really cool for many of you. In about a month, we've got a lot of sixth graders. We're going to come up into youth group. And some of you cringe. Guys, that's disappointing as a youth pastor. You know what? You have an opportunity. When they come up and they see you, they should all be able to say, I want to be like them. They're not going to say that if you ignore them. They're not going to say that, and you're going to lose influence with them if you make fun of them. If when they come in, you're like, oh. Guys, you have an opportunity to show love. And it would be awesome if those sixth graders come in and say, you know what? I want to be like that guy. Like that girl. I want to be exactly like them. Are you an example of the believers? When you train yourself in godliness, it's going to change your heart, and the way you show love is going to change. But also be an example in faith, in spirit, and in faith. These are inward qualities of a believer, and Bible commentators believe that this word probably refers to an attitude of trustworthiness rather than just strictly belief. Hey, when you trust God's character, you're gonna be faithful to him. When you trust who God is, you're going to be faithful to him as your God. Is your faith an example to those who struggle to see God as a good God? There may be people in here who struggle to trust God because of things God has brought into their life or have come into their life. And especially those of you who are going through hard things, you can influence others by being an example of someone who is strong in faith. Again, God will change your heart. But also, lastly, the fifth category he talks about and says to Timothy, be an example of the believers in purity. Is your life, and even deeper than that, your thought life, an example to other believers? What do you talk about with your friends? What do you laugh about with your friends? Does your mind and mouth immediately go to inappropriate and impure things? Do you constantly think about impure things? Are you an example of the believers in purity? What do you think about? What do you talk about? What do you watch? Hey guys, you might be saying, you know what? Pastor Brandon, I've messed up. What if you've already messed up in this area? There's hope. Even when you are unfaithful to God, God is always faithful to forgive you. God is always faithful to forgive. What do? You've got to confess and repent of your sins to God. Maybe you've messed up in this area of purity. You say, you know what? I can't be an example here. Run to confess and repent and ask God for your forgiveness. But also, number two, you need to ask for forgiveness for those who maybe you've been involved with your sin, who've witnessed this, who you've not been a good example of purity to. But also, number three, trust God and his forgiveness. There are passages of Scripture that tell us about how great God's forgiveness is. The Bible says God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, even impurity. Guys, my God is a God that purifies. And if you've messed up, there is hope. You can still be an example of the believers, even in this area. Look at what David says in Psalm 32. Many sorrows, he just confessed his sin to God. He just has received forgiveness. He says this in verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. God, through confession and repentance, has just made David righteous. Not because of what he's done. But guys, remember, David, in this passage, he is an adulterer, and a murderer. And Scripture calls him a man after God's own heart. Can God purify you? Can God still use you as an example of the believer, even though maybe you've messed up in this area? Absolutely. God cleansed David, and God can cleanse you. Again, you've got to understand God's character and who He is. My God purifies. So number four, what do you do if you've messed up? Moving forward, be an example of the believers in purity. Maybe you don't feel like you are worthless, that you can't be used by God. God can cleanse you. And guys, when you train yourself again for the purpose of godliness, He's going to change your heart, and you're going to choose, I don't want the sexual immorality, the sexual impurity. I want to be a man or a woman of integrity. And from here on out, I want to show God how faithful I am to Him and how much I love Him. And guys, there are few things more powerful than a godly example. If someone can look at you and say, I want to be like them, guys, that is awesome. There were two men in my teenage years that specifically I greatly respected. I wanted to be like them. I respected their love for God. I respected their love for other people. They genuinely spoke kindly to people. They were an example of kindness in word. They responded with grace, even to stupidity. These were teachers, authority figures in my life, and when we were dumb, they still responded with grace. I trusted them to have a consistent walk with the Lord and a consistent walk with me. They lovingly pointed out sin in my life when it was there. They didn't ignore it. They didn't say, brush it under the rug. Guys, I trusted them to be an example. And ultimately, this isn't the greatest motivation, but sometimes I resisted temptation to sin simply because I didn't want to disappoint them. My dad was one of these men. And guys, I wanted to be like them. They are some of the very specific reasons that I'm in ministry today. Can that be said of you, or can it be said about me? That our example influences others to want to serve God more and to be in the ministry and to minister. And guys, that is convicting. That someone could look at you and say, you know what, I don't want to disappoint them, and ultimately I don't want to disappoint their God. One of the reasons that I want to chase after God is because I saw the effect that it had in their life. Can you be that type of example? Paul tells Timothy, and God tells you and me, train yourself to be godly. Another way you can look at that word train is to discipline, to exercise, the Bible says. Guys, spend time with your God. You will progressively become more like Him. And how can I be example to the believers? First of all, be a model, be an example, but secondly, emphasize God's word. Read verse 13 with me. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And he's specifically talking in context here about reading the Bible. And he's specifically talking about in context to a pastor. Timothy is a spiritual leader. But the principles that are evident here can be applicable to us as well. Paul says, you know what, Timothy? Take God's word, explain it, apply it, read it, put it in front of people. If you want to truly influence people and be a godly leader, you must rely on God's word. You've got to bring God's word to bear in their lives. Bring up God's word. Don't just allude to it or give your opinion. Use God's word. The Bible is living and is active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It discerns the thoughts and intents of your heart and my heart. You and I can't do that. You and I cannot influence people that way. The word of God is able to build you up, Acts 20, verse 32. Jeremiah 15, 16 says, your words became to me the joy and delight of my heart. Is God's word your joy and delight? John 17, 17, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. You cannot change people. Only God can. The example that Paul tells Timothy to be is a way to open up a door for people to listen to God's word. Train yourself to be godly. Be an example and emphasize God's word. Use God's word. Read it. Exhort from it. Teach from it. So how can I be a godly leader? Number one, be an example. Emphasize God's word. But also, verse number 14 tells us to use your spiritual gifts. Read verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. And again, Paul is telling this to Timothy. Every believer, according to Romans, 1 Corinthians 12, has been given a spiritual gift. If you want to be a godly leader, use your gifts. Apparently, Timothy was very timid about using his gifts that God has given him. Here, this chapter, Paul says, hey, you know what? Don't neglect it. And then in 2 Timothy, Paul says this to him, stir up the gift that is in you. For whatever reason, Timothy was kind of hesitant to use his gifts. According to the New York Post, in 2006, a fisherman threw his anchor down into the water. It was during a storm and got stuck on a rock. He noticed that it was lodged on a huge clamshell. So he swam down, he pulled up the anchor, and when he did, he brought the clamshell with it. And when he opened it up, when he got it back in his boat, he found this. Some of you are like, what is that? This is a 75-pound pearl. What he did, he didn't know how much it was valued at. He didn't know how much it was worth. 75 pounds, this pearl was. He took it home, and he kept it under his bed for 10 years. 10 years later, his house caught on fire. They discovered the pearl, and then he learned that it was worth $100 million. He'd been hiding a very valuable pearl worth $100 million under his bed for 10 years. And guys, some of you may currently be hiding very valuable gifts to the church. You're burying them. You're scared to use them. You're fearful of what people might say to you. You probably won't be perfect at it the first time you exercise it. But don't bury a gift that God's Holy Spirit has given to you. God tells us to continue using that gift, and a godly friend encourages others to use those gifts. And guys, get involved in the church. Minister. Don't sit back in the shadows. But also, another quick application, don't take those gifts and use them selfishly all for yourself. Or allow them to become something that you love and become an idol in your life as well. Your natural talents or spiritual gifts, don't allow those to become something that you love more than God. So we've got to be an example. We've got to emphasize God's word. We've got to minister in the church and use our gifts, but also wholeheartedly grow spiritually. Up here on the screen, backing up a second, I forgot I put this up here. This is a list of some spiritual gifts from Scripture. These are ones that I currently believe are active in the local church because of the Holy Spirit. Do you see something that maybe you are especially good at? That you're naturally inclined to, that the Holy Spirit has empowered? Guys, don't hide those things. Don't bury them. Don't neglect them. Because we are told, he sandwiches this whole passage, and he says, wholeheartedly grow spiritually. Look at verses 15 and 16. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. It could be translated, immerse yourself in them. That thy profiting may appear to all. Again, there's the example principle. Hey, when you grow spiritually, when you wholeheartedly seek after God, it's going to be visible to a lot of people. Look at verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Again, notice the order that's given here in verse number 16. Take heed to yourself. Train yourself to be godly, and then unto teaching. Make sure your heart is right with God. Have you been an example to other believers? Make sure you love God with your whole heart. Then use your words to teach and influence others. Sometimes we can become so focused on leading, or spiritual leaders can become so focused on investing in other people or focusing on other people that they forget to walk with their God themselves. And don't get so focused on, you know what, I want to be a leader, I want to be an example, that that's your only focus. Take a step back and discipline yourself and train yourself to godliness. God sandwiches this section of Scripture with commands for a personal walk with God that overflows into godly leadership. That's where it starts. Do you want to be a godly leader? Train yourself to be godly. Don't look just for that position. Because impacting others for God, it all starts in your heart. What's in your heart is going to come out. Jesus says that in Matthew chapter 12. And if what comes out of your heart is the character of God, you are going to influence people. You're going to be a godly leader. You're going to be an example to them. Guys, don't look down upon your youth. Be an example of the believer in all of those categories we talked about. Emphasize God's word. Bring it to light in your friends, in your relationship with your friends. Immerse yourself in your relationship with God. Be consistent. Wholeheartedly pursue God with everything that you are. Train yourself to be godly. So how can I be an example to other believers? It starts with you. It starts with your heart. Train yourself to be godly, love God, and you will naturally influence others. That's going to overflow. Father, we thank you for your word, for the challenges that it gives us. Lord, I pray that your will would be accomplished tonight. We ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. This passage does tell us that we can have an anchor to the hope of the living God and our Savior to all people. And maybe you're here tonight and you're kind of stuck in this area where you kind of feel hopeless. Where you've chased after sin for satisfaction. You're like, you know what? There has got to be more to life than this. There is hope. Because the Bible does tell us there is none righteous, no, not one. None of us are separated from sin. There is wages for our sin. It's death. And at this point, you might be like, you know what? I'm a sinner and no one can go to heaven by this standard. And that's right. It's hopeless, but there is hope in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. Guys, he took your place. He paid the wages for your sin. He paid the punishment for your sin on the cross. But also, the Bible tells us to trust and turn from our sin and place our faith in the risen God, Jesus Christ, who died in our place to pay for our sins and who rose again to give us victory. You might be here tonight and you're like, you know what, Pastor Brandon, I am kind of in a place where I'm kind of hopeless. I don't have hope for the future. And you'd say, you know what, I want to get into a relationship with God where that hope is found. And if you'd be like, I want to trust Christ as my Savior tonight, I've been putting on a show, I've been a hypocrite, but the Lord's convicted my heart and I want to get saved tonight. If that's you, if you just raise your hand, it won't take too much time to embarrass you, but I always want to give a chance to respond. If I've broken your heart of your sin and you're like, you know what, I can't do this on my own, I need Jesus. But also you may be here tonight and you've realized that you have not been a godly example. That you've not been an example to the believer and you do want to influence others for God. You want to be a godly leader, but you've realized that, you know what, Pastor Brandon, I've been focusing so much on that I need to take a step back. I've forgotten about my own personal work with God. And I need to train myself to live godly. I need to search God with my whole heart. And if that's you and the Holy Spirit has convicted your heart about that tonight, I'd like you to raise your hand. We'll pray for you in just a moment. Thank you, thank you, thank you. See, 10 or so hands up. Thank you so much. I'm going to pray for you in a moment. Don't embarrass you. But take that step back before you start focusing on everyone else. Get your heart right with God and you will naturally influence others. I'm going to close in prayer. And again, you staff and I are always available to talk afterwards. If there's something you need to talk about, please come find one of us. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you. And again, make tonight a night where you'd say, you could look back in years and say, you know what, that night in youth group in that hot basement is the day that I decided, you know what, I'm going to pursue God with my whole heart. And I am going to try to influence others for Jesus Christ. And if that's you, take a moment in your seat while I'm praying. You pray to the Lord and commit that to him as well, that you're going to train yourself to godliness and be an example, emphasize God's word, and wholeheartedly pursue God. Father, we are grateful that you have given us specific instructions. Help us to be an example to other people, that we would influence those who are lost, to be able to see the hope that's available in Jesus Christ. Lord, also help us to encourage other believers that they could look at our lives and say, I want to be like that because he's like Jesus. And because of him, I can see a glimpse of who you are. And I pray for the young ladies, the young men that have raised their hand tonight and said, I need to train myself to live godly. I pray that you'd help them, give them the strength to do that. But tonight, you'd help them to get some time alone with you. That tomorrow they'd be dedicated to your word. That they bring your word to light in their own lives as well. Father, change us. Help us to love you. Help us to love people. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys are dismissed. If you could clean up.